written, which is 5 minutes of dictation, at 200 words per minute. Ready? Begin. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you have now heard all of the evidence, and it is now my duty to instruct you on the law that applies to this matter. After I conclude reading these instructions to you, we will commence with the arguments of counsel. The law requires that I read these instructions to you here in open court. Please listen carefully. It is my personal practice that you will have these instructions in their written form with you in the jury room to refer to at any time during the course of your deliberations. You must base your decision on the facts and the law. You have two duties to perform. First, you must determine the facts from the evidence received in the trial and not from any other source. A fact is something that is proven by direct or circumstantial evidence. A fact can also be established by a stipulation, which is an agreement between the attorneys as to the facts. Second, you must apply the law that I state to you to the facts as you determine them, and in this way arrive at your verdict and any findings you were told to include along with your verdict. You must accept and follow the law as I explain it to you, whether or not you agree with the law. If anything concerning the law stated by the attorneys in their arguments or at any other time in the trial conflicts with my instructions on the law, you must follow my instructions. You must not be swayed by pity for a defendant or by prejudice against him. You must not be biased against the defendant because he has been arrested for this offense, charged with a crime, or brought to trial. None of these circumstances is evidence of guilt, and you must not infer or assume from any or all of them that he is more likely to be guilty than innocent. You must not be influenced by mere feelings or sentiment, passion, or public opinion. Both the state and the defendant have the right to expect that you will consider and weigh all the evidence, apply the law, and reach a just verdict regardless of the result. If a rule or direction is stated in a different way than I have said it in these instructions, no special meaning is intended, and you must not draw any inference just because it is stated more than once. Do not single out any particular phrase or point and ignore all the rest. Consider the instructions as a whole and each in light of all the others. The order in which I present the instructions to you has no significance at all as to their importance. As you work together to reach a verdict, it is important for each of you to remember that the statements made by lawyers during the trial are not evidence. But if the lawyers have agreed to a fact, you must regard that fact as proven. When lawyers agree to a particular fact in a case, that is called a stipulation. If an objection to any question was sustained by me, do not guess what the answer might have been and do not speculate as to the reason for the objection. Do not accept as true anything that was suggested by the way a question may have been phrased. A question is not evidence and it may be considered only as it helps you to understand the answer. Please keep in mind that you may not consider any of the evidence that I have stricken or rejected. You must treat it as though you never heard it. You must determine all questions of fact in this case from the evidence received here in court during this trial and not from any other source. You must not make any independent investigation of the facts or the law or consider or discuss facts as to which there has been no evidence. This means, for example, that you must not on your own visit the scene, conduct experiments, or consult any reference works or persons for more information. You must not discuss this case at all with any other person but a fellow juror, and you must not discuss the case with a fellow juror until the case is before you for your decision, and then only when all 12 jurors are in the jury room. The evidence for you to consider in the case includes sworn testimony that was given in court, writings, objects, or things that were offered in order to prove or disprove the existence of a fact. In trials, there are two types of evidence, direct and circumstantial. The evidence in the case that proves a fact on its face is called direct evidence. When it is found to be true, it establishes a fact in the case. Evidence that proves a fact from which you can infer other things is called circumstantial evidence. When you can reasonably conclude that an event took place based on other facts or a group of facts that have been proven, that is called circumstantial evidence. If you find that prior to this trial the defendant made a knowingly false or misleading statement about the crimes for which he is now being tried, you may regard such a statement as tending to prove an awareness of guilt. But such conduct does not, in and of itself, prove guilt, and its weight and significance, if any, are matters for you to determine. Some evidence was allowed for a limited use. At the time this evidence was admitted, you were told that it could not be considered by you for any purpose but the sole purpose for which it was admitted. Neither side is required to present testimony of people who may have witnessed one or more of the events referred to in the course of this trial, nor those who may have knowledge or information of those events. Welcome to the RPR Testimony Examination Warm-Up Material.